Hey guys, welcome to Struggling Sisters episode.
It's June. We're talking about comparison.
Yeah, this is a good one. A lot of people have written in asking us to talk about comparison. Well, you, and I'm here too.
So you're also going to be allowed to talk.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, I'm excited. Drop some knowledge. You have any comparison knowledge?
Not a lot. I know it's not helpful, but...
Yeah, I think we should talk about what are some things that we compare. What, like, do you have an area that bothers you? And then maybe what have you learned? I will say that when preparing for this episode, I just started to feel really bad. Like, I just feel like the things that bother me are so shallow. And so I'm just feeling a little embarrassed to even say them.
No, and I was feeling the same way too. And then I thought that's exactly why we need to say them. Because they might not be the same for other people, but just saying them is helpful to
them.
Not us. Nope. It was a very interesting. So yesterday I interviewed Ruth Cho Simons, who is what I would consider completely successful in all the ways that I would like to be.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I spent the rest of the day. She was lovely, the loveliest. It would have been better if she was kind of a jerk, because then I would have been like, gosh, at least I'm not a jerk, which we both kind of know I am a jerk, but I would have at least been able to tell myself, at least I'm not a jerk like Ruth. Everything else she does is fantastic, but she's rude. But she's not. She's not rude. She's amazing. So anyway, I spend the rest of the day feeling bad about it. So I thought it was really funny that we were going to talk about this.
Gosh, well, that's perfect. And I will say that success, when people are successful, it doesn't bother me.
Success doesn't bother you.
No.
I mean, probably you're comparing people who are successful at the thing you're interested in. Because I was thinking about this. What do I compare? I don't compare myself to people that I or things if I don't care about it.
Right. I was thinking about that too. So your comparison, the things that you are looking at are the things that you're falling short at, or at least in your eyes.
Or want to do better at. You know, okay. Like I am not working out. I do not look at runners and go, oh my gosh, I really wish I could be like you, because I tried it and I hated it.
Really?
So there's nothing about me that feels like I wish I could be a runner.
Okay.
But if I'm already in the game trying to do a thing, those are the people I compare myself to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So for me, success, you could be successful at any kind of thing. So what do you mean by success doesn't bother you?
Well, I guess I'm looking at Ruth and she's got books and she probably has a great community of people.
She's really good at painting and I can't make my hands do that. But I've tried, and I'm not good.
So then it's an insecurity thing. It's you've got an insecurity because you.
Yeah, because she can watercolor and hand letter. That's not fair.
Oh, my gosh.
You should be able to do one and be woefully inadequate at the other. So you've got to, like, have a collaboration with another artist.
We're going to need
to find
some dirt.
She's a skills hog, is what she is.
Yeah, we're going to find the dirt on Ruth.
I tried yesterday, and I couldn't. It's going to be such a delightful interview, and I'm so mad about it.
I'm kidding. I would never do that.
No.
It sounds like I won't be able to find anything anyway. So the thing that I compare myself the most with other people is my body. It's the only thing that, like, reps, like, I get so caught up in.
And are you comparing yourself to people who are your age, or?
I am. I think I am. And it's not like my size. It's not the shape. It's the way that their clothes fit. It's very specific.
Okay.
So then I was like, well, is it like fashion or is it body? It's just like the whole package bothers me.
Body package is a problem.
The whole body package bothers me.
Is it that you're trying to wear clothes that used to would have fit you a certain way, or do you just need to make a different choice with how things are fitting, or do you, is it like you want to lose weight or gain muscle?
I can't tell. It's just, I look at other people and I'm like, their clothes fit them just great. Why don't my clothes fit me that great? And it doesn't matter what size person it is.
You just like people who look presentable.
Yes.
You know, it's so funny that you've always been like that. You always like to look good. Like since you were a little girl on Saturday morning.
Why does that matter so much to me?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I wish I cared more sometimes. I see the way I go out in the world and I think, what in the actual heavens were you thinking? / why weren't you thinking anything?
It feels so shameful to me. But I will say, I think I'm slipping up a little bit. I'm getting a little more loose because the other day before quarantine, I found myself out in public in my house slippers, like the ugliest of slippers.
Wow.
I just looked down. I was at soccer practice and I looked down in the bathroom stall and I was like, oh no.
Oh, so you didn't know. You didn't mean to leave in them.
No. These ones are pretty bad. You don't wear these ones out. So embarrassing.
Oh, man, around other moms, too.
Yeah, actually, I didn't really care who saw me. I guess it was just my own personal, like, oh, shoot. What are you about?
So it's either stuff that I am trying to do well that I feel like I just need to be the best at, and since I'm not, that's a problem. Or I at least need to be in the top 10 in the history of everything.
Of anything that you're putting effort into.
I have to win at it, or at least be in the upper echelon. It's ridiculous. That way, no matter how well I do, I've failed. This is the matrix within which I'm working.
Oh, sounds exhausting.
It is
so it's about
tiring.
It's just being competitive.
But I'm not outwardly competitive because I don't think that's appropriate all the time. So I'm inwardly trying to beat everyone at all times. So with Instagram, with the podcasts, I want to be the funniest. So if someone sums up the joke and I didn't come up with it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's one strike against me. No, it isn't. You lunatic.
I get that. Funny is my second one. Yeah, that's hard. Gotta be the funniest.
You have to win.
You have to win it funny. And it's ridiculous to compare because it's not a measurable thing.
It is, though. If it's a thing, it can be measured so that I know if I'm winning or losing.
I feel like you and Robbie are equally funny and I am below you.
No, you.
So I guess it is measurable.
It's measurable. He wins, then you, and then me.
Not true.
True.
And, you know, comparison is so crazy because him and I talked after that Zoom call and he gave me a compliment and I was like, you know, that one particular, he said something about the family and what a good job I was doing with my family or something like as us as a unit. And I was feeling specifically yesterday so bad about my family, which had just had to do with hormones, you know, things that weren't real. But anyway, then I shot back with, but I think you are blah, 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 blah. And it's just, we are comparing ourselves. You know, it's unfortunate that it is so hard to build somebody up without kind of looking, tearing yourself down within the same breath. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I know Elisa Keaton always talks about if you're going to look to the right or the left at someone else, it needs to be to cheer them on. And when something amazing happens, get under that pinata, like be pumped for the person and celebrate with them and don't, because it doesn't take something away from you.
It really doesn't.
Are you looking for stories to inspire your little girl to pursue her dreams? Positive role models are critical to showing girls what's possible when they dream bigger. The award-winning Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast offers parents and teachers a free resource to inspire, educate, and instill confidence in girls. The podcast draws from the library of stories in the Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls book series, which you've probably seen around. Each 20-minute episode highlights one exceptional woman. It's perfect for before bedtime or anytime you're in the car. These stories explore the talent and results of incredible women across every possible field, from Jane Goodall to Harriet Tubman. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast introduces girls to modern icons like Michelle Obama, as well as figures they may not know yet, like artist Frida Kahlo. They have engaging narration by equally impressive women like Gayle King and Melinda Gates. Give the rebel girl in your life the confidence to dream bigger. Find Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls award-winning educational podcast on your favorite podcast player today. I think the other thing I compare myself is to things that are so remarkably difficult for me that it seems to come quickly, easily to other people, and it boggles my mind, that kind of stuff. Like for me, people who get up and get ready and always have amazing hair. How?
Yeah, why? That is magical.
I know why, but I can't imagine, like, it doesn't, I don't know, I don't understand. I had a friend, it didn't matter what happened, she could be in a wind tunnel, and somehow she was ready for prom with an updo. How is this real life? It's like always having aerial hair when you flip it up and you're on that rock in the middle, you know, and it's just real pretty.
Yeah.
Or people who are naturally happy, or people who can just reply to a dumb question with kindness. That's amazing to me because I just feel like I need to say something rude back. I don't know.
You need to win at snarkiness.
Oh, man. And I do think if I've won at something, it's jerkdom. I'm pretty high. I'm pretty high. I got some trophies for that.
Well, I feel like when you do things like Enneagram or different personality tests that tell you what type of person you are, which I think is, I know for me, is very hard to know because I don't think about myself very often, thinking about other people. So it's hard for me to know, what am I? What do I like? But the more that I've looked into that, I've seen where I'm valuable, and it makes me compare myself to people less. Like you were saying, when people have something kind to say versus something snarky, you need somebody to jump in and say something nice before your mouth opens up to say something mean. And so it's less about them being amazing and more about, thank goodness we have you, because I'm going to jump in later with something, you know, I don't know.
Super, you know what, inappropriate. I mean? Yes.
We need all the different kinds of people. And if you know your value, if you spend more time looking at your value, you're going to be able to dance under the pinata more. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, we can appreciate what we bring to the table. It cracks me up every time you say that you are so busy thinking of other people that you don't know what you like.
I don't know what I like. It's the dumbest.
I just think, I wish that I could be like that. I wish I could be. Here we are comparing. I wish that what I wanted wasn't the very first thing that came to my mind at every second of the day. Because then all it is expectations, so that all I have is unmet expectations of myself and other people. It's something.
Sounds so stressful.
I know. Help me, Enneagram 2. Make it better.
I will. Forget me. Let's talk about you.
Okay, so what is something that you can't care less about as far as comparing? I could care less about fancy bags and fancy shoes.
Yes.
Like Gucci or what? I don't even know all the names.
Right. So when you see someone with that, you're not like, I wish I had that.
No. I think, man, you spent a lot of money on that. I would have rather gone to REI, bought myself some, like, 10 pairs of Chacos.
Yeah, I feel like I don't care about when people are rich. Some people like really care about people that have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's invisible. Who cares?
Ooh, but I like turning money into things, buying them, having them. Chocolate. I compare myself with technology. I need to have the newest. But I don't care about, clothes, like designer clothes or whatever.
Right.
I don't care about organization inside of closets and drawers and cabinets.
So when you see somebody's house that's amazingly organized, you're not like, I wish I could be like that.
No, because if there's a door on it, you just put it in there and shut the door.
It's a waste of time.
But the outside needs to be organized.
Okay.
Like if you can see it, it should be organized. If you can't see it, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
But my engineer husband's the opposite.
He wants the inside nice. So then does that mean you guys are organized every which way?
No, he has his places that, I mean, if you go into like his bathroom area and move something, if the wind were to blow through and something is moved like 2 millimeters askew and asunder, oh, he'll come after you. He will come after you. He's such a sweet man. Don't mess with his nose hair trimmer. Thank you very much. Oh, man. What about you? Any other things?
I mean, I guess I don't really care about, like, cars and things. I'm the same way about handbags.
What about celebrities? Like, do you look at celebrities and go, oh, my gosh, I wish I was a Jenner or something.
Oh, no. I have a hard time with that. I feel like I'm very breezy. I just want my clothes to fit my body tight.
Okay.
Okay. I don't care about anything else.
Wow. All right. Good. Very simple. That's nice.
Oh, I'm the worst. I will say, a pet peeve that I have is, you were talking about organization. I don't like when people, an example, people come to my house and say, ugh, you would hate to come to my house. It's so dirty.
Okay.
And I really don't like that.
Because?
That's just an example. Because it's like a backhanded compliment saying something that I'm good at is organizing things or keeping things nice. And I like it that way. But that doesn't mean that I don't like you because you don't like things that way.
Because you're nasty.
You nasty. And I want to come hang out in your pig pen. But now I don't, because now I feel weird about it. I don't know. I'm just having a hard time with, I really don't like when other people compare themselves to me outwardly in
a way that makes you feel bad about being good at it.
Yeah. Why you got to bring me down? Why you got to make it about me? You got problems.
You're harsh in my buzz. Did I tell you that my son told me that the other day? And I was like, can you not talk about being buzzed? Because A, you don't even know what that means. And B, I hope you're not. Or that says,
you don't know what that means.
That really speaks poorly to my parenting. Which I need to be the best at.
I wonder where he heard that.
I don't know, but he really got it talking to about it. But not an explanation of what exactly he was saying, only of, you better not say that again.
Oh, anyway, so, but I was thinking about it and I caught myself doing it. I was writing in Big Boy's graduation card. Siege graduated from an Ivy League school, right? But people from Ivy League schools, they don't tell you that they're from Ivy League schools because everybody shames them. And that's ridiculous.
Do they shame them or do they shame themselves?
They're shaming themselves. I mean, they're saying, oh, ho, ho, ho.
I went to Mesa Community College.
Right, which is ridiculous.
Right.
So I was going to, and my first instinct was, go for funny. So I was going to write, way to make everybody else look bad. But I didn't. I just said, you're amazing, you know? And that's all I said, because I had to get out of there before I wrote something else. Rude funny.
I know. Oh, yeah. You know, my friend Leslie says that when she sees someone who's really better than her at something, she just asks them to mentor her in it. And I kind of like that, because then you're acknowledging, you're way better than me at this. And also, I want you to teach me. It's like humble instead of, you're the worst for being so good at that.
Yeah, there's a nicer way to point things out.
Yeah, but sometimes we're just so insecure about it that we just come out with our little fingernails and our barbs.
I know. We need to not do that for each other.
Yeah.
I love telling mom things because she's one of the only people that I don't feel bad saying things to. Because I don't feel like they're going to feel less than when I just want to share something fun that I've just done.
So you tell her things you've done.
Yeah.
Because you know she's going to be pumped about it.
Because, yeah, to share with somebody. But I feel like there should be more people in our lives that you can just share things with freely without trying to make, you don't have to worry about making them feel bad about themselves.
Yeah, you're right. Do you think that's because she's in a different life stage? And so there's not, there's, it would be really weird for her to compare herself to yourself in that total different life stage.
Yeah, probably. But I think that we can be, like, as friends, we can be mentors. Like, we can be that for each other. I think we should do that more often.
Finding the perfect present for Dad is tough, especially since we don't have the luxury of celebrating Father's Day together in person this year. I don't know about your family, but my husband's side of the family loves telling stories. I mean, for hours and hours. And that's why I'm giving my father-in-law the most meaningful gift this year, a chance to connect with loved ones through Storyworth. Storyworth is a fun and meaningful way to engage with family, especially with relatives who you might not get to see very often. This online service helps your loved ones share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and their thoughts that you would never even think to ask. Every week, Storyworth emails your family member a different story prompt, like, what have been some of your life's greatest surprises? And reading the weekly stories, it's fun, and it makes our family feel close, even though we're not that close together. But after 1 year, Storyworth is going to compile all their answered questions and a photo that you choose into a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped for free. My family is going to treasure this forever. So give your dad the most meaningful gift this year with Storyworth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to storyworth.com/MSW. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/MSW for $10 off. So I did look a little bit on comparison.
Okay.
I wanted to have something really wise to say, but really what I wrote was, it's a downward spiral. Comparison is a downward spiral. And I don't know if it's the opposite, like linguistically, if it's the polar actual opposite, but it is not foster gratitude.
Right.
To look at what you don't have. Right. And so we're supposed to be thankful people, and it really does depend on what you choose to focus on. And I think, you know, I don't like talking about these idioms that I heard in China every single day of my life, but every coin has two sides and you can choose to be, I don't even like saying, like, I have to spit it out real fast so you know what I'm talking about, but like, oh, I heard it so much. It turns
we heard
stomach.
You say it. You said it. Oh. Even if you said it fast, but it's true.
But yeah, so you can compare and you, same exact coin, I guess you could be thankful that they're good at it or that you are good at other things. I like to just say every time I mess up, I'm good at other things. You can't be good at everything.
That's true. And it's true. And so maybe you just have to tell yourself that over and over again. I don't know if I heard it in a podcast or it could have just been on Instagram. So I can't really credit this person, but I have no idea who said it. As soon as you start comparing yourself to somebody, start thinking about what you have in common. So if you've put somebody on a pedestal, and I'm trying to kind of say it out loud because that's how I process things. You're welcome, everybody listening to the podcast who at the end is like, what?
I hope you got something out of it because I sure didn't.
Oh, the wheels are turning, guys. So say you put someone on a pedestal, somebody who is, who would that be for you? Someone who?
Well, let's just talk about Ruth Simons.
Why not? All right. Put Ruth up there. What do you and Ruth have in common? She mother?
Yeah.
Podcaster?
Yeah.
Is it starting to make you feel any better about her?
Mm-hmm.
Or no?
No, I think it's really good. And also just to remember, they're humans. Like, you're probably better at stuff than they are. That doesn't, I mean, that just sounds like a way to be like, she's the worst at cooking Chinese food, I bet. Because I'm good at it. I know. Gosh. Good thing I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. No.
Yeah.
I have amazing, amazing respect for her. But like you said, though, it ruins friendships because it does put a wedge between the two of you because you're looking at someone going, ugh. I don't know. There's something really nice about being friends with people who are so wildly different than you.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can't help. You're not even remotely in the same lane.
Right.
I kind of like that. I don't know. And maybe it comes with maturity just to go, wow, you really are good at this. Can you be in charge of this thing?
Oh, it's got to come with maturity. If you think about how you were in, or if I think about how I was in high school,
Yeah.
I had a lot more to compare myself.
That's true.
I had
more
a lot
insecurities.
more things to measure up to, yeah, that don't really matter.
The final one that I really didn't like about comparison that I looked up was that it isn't good to compare because life isn't fair. I feel like it should be fair. Like, I feel like developmentally, I'm still a first grader. That's like, well, that's not fair. And you want to tattle that you didn't get as many M&Ms as they did. But the fact is, life isn't fair and they really might be better at it. And it might not be that you're not trying hard enough. You just may never have a symmetrical face like Denzel Washington. I do not know why that's fucking in my head, but he has the most...
Wow.
He apparently has the most symmetrical face.
There was no editing. Like, you said that sentence all together. You didn't even think of an example. That's the one you came up with.
Oh, man. Okay, so we can't all be Denzel Washington. I was thinking about biblically what would happen and what did happen when people compared themselves. And it never ended very well. Like, Jesus always was like, boom. Like, he said some real mic drop moments when people would compare themselves. Like, in John 21, I think I didn't have time to read the whole context, but basically I think they're talking about how someone's going to die for Christ, what they're going to have to sacrifice for him. And he was telling Peter, like, you're going to die this certain way. And he said, well, what about John? What's he going to do? And he's like, what's that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Like, that's like, whole, what's it to me? It's everything to me because I really
right.
care.
Right.
I need to not die worse than him or sooner or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then also there was a parable where, like, in the beginning of the day, somebody started working for a wage that they agreed on. And then, like, around lunchtime, someone came and they were working for a wage that they agreed on. It was just the same wage as the people who had been working all morning. And then at the end of the day, they picked up some more workers and they got the same wage as the people who had been working all day. But everybody had agreed on the wage ahead of time and they were happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the guys that came like at 4 p.m., 4 to 5,
right.
You get a whole day's whatever. And that was just the same type of thing. Like, keep your eyes on your own paper. What is that
yeah.
to you?
Right.
Oh, it just makes us uncomfortable, even as grownups.
Right. I feel so annoyed that these lessons have to keep being learned over and over again.
Mm-hmm. It helps me be more patient. It theoretically helps me be more patient with my kids.
Yeah.
That I have to keep teaching them the same lessons because here
yeah.
I am learning them too.
Yeah. Let's play Would You Rather.
Okay. I wanted to come up with something that was good for comparison, but the one that made me laugh wasn't really. So we're just going to go with it anyway. Would you rather have to drink all your beverages out of a large bucket? I'm envisioning like the bright orange 5-gallon Home Depot bucket.
Okay.
Or a baby bottle.
I would drink out of a bucket. Oh, what would you do?
I just want to circle back to this. Everything's out of a bucket. So that means you're going to be bringing your own bucket when you go out to eat. And,
okay.
And at this point, I mean, you can't put the bucket in your bag. And so now your bag's going to have to go in the bucket and you're just carrying around with the handle.
You're just never going to be able to drink anything from outside of your house. You're just going to have to drink out of the bucket in your house only.
Would you get a straw? That is so messy.
Oh, I didn't think about any of this. Now, here's a question. Is it like all your drinks for the day are going to go in this bucket?
No, I think like, so you're going to have a LaCroix. You have to pour it out of the can and into the bucket and then slop it. And the whole thing comes all over your hair and it's up your nose.
You'd have to get a straw, specialty straw, a bunch of straws taped together.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. And do you hold it by the handle while you drink and it's like swaying back and forth?
No, you can't do that. If you're going to drink out of it, if you're going to tip it up like a giant cup, you're going to have to use your hands and hold the handle back so it doesn't hit you in the head.
Or do you take the handle off? So it's more
it's your
like
bucket.
A cup. It's your bucket.
Yeah. And then you can maybe take the handle and you Gorilla Glue it like it's a coffee mug hook.
So make the handle into a side of the mug handle.
Yes.
That would have a lot of Gorilla Glue. But really, the bucket would never be that full. It'd be
oh,
like
you're right.
A quarter of an inch So it wouldn't ever be that heavy.
You're going to have to get a straw. Are you picking bucket?
No.
Oh.
I feel like bottle, the thing I don't like about bottle is it's a lot to clean. There's going to be like some moldy. If you don't do a real good job of cleaning, you're like having to soak it in bleach every night. You have to have special.
Bleach? You can't bleach a bottle every night.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I did. I think I did having babies wrong because I think I probably did. I don't know.
You say you're going to have to sanitize it in the microwave. Oh, you remember that?
I don't know if I remember that. I think I don't remember doing any of that. Poor kids.
I hope you didn't bleach your bottles.
I don't think I did. I just mean clean them real good. Soak them up. Get a special brush. It's a lot more work, but you can pop it in your purse. I like to drink on the go, and that bucket's just not going to work for me. Plus, buckets are always dirty. I cannot think of a bucket and not think of something you vomit into or something that you mop the floor and the water's in there.
I gotcha.
Have I turned you into a bottle person?
No, because where are you going to drink from a bottle? Like, you're going to be at Chipotle filling up your bottle in the Coke machine and then drinking out of it?
I didn't think about that. Do you remember for a while, maybe it still is, but there was like a subculture of people, I don't even know who they are, just younger, who would have pacifiers?
I think that's because they're doing DRUGS
at
the clubs. And I think you like do weird stuff with your teeth.
Okay. So what if we get roped in with that group and it's all of a sudden a gateway to clubbing?
Oh, no. You're going to need to switch to the bucket.
Because I am a couple clicks away from clubbing.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Would you rather oversleep every day for a week or not get any sleep at all for 4 days?
You know exactly which one I'm going to say.
Ugh, you would rather oversleep every day?
I love sleep.
I know, but that feeling when you've overslept for work?
Oh, like you're late to work? I thought you just meant like, oh, whoopsie daisy, it's 9.
No, that's sleep in.
Okay. Okay, no, that is different. So what was my other option? Or not sleep at all?
For 4 days.
Oh, man, there'd be a lot of crying.
You would cry a lot?
I would cry a lot. Everybody who I live with would be crying a lot.
Because you're mean when you don't sleep?
Yes.
Okay. I am too. I didn't realize I was so mean when I didn't sleep. My sister-in-law pointed that out to me.
How did she do it?
It's happened a couple of times, actually, because now it can just be like, oh, don't wake her up. But the first time we were having family in town, and when they come, there's a lot of them. And so we're like sharing rooms and people aren't sleeping as well because kids get rowdy when they have to sleep together and they're excited and stuff. Well, I had gotten done yelling at all the kids to go to sleep. And then I finally got to go to sleep and I had just fallen asleep. And then somebody came into my room and I thought it was a kid. And I like went straight beast mode and freaked out. And it was her. And she's the nicest person in the world. And she was just coming in to get someone's stuffed animal because I probably kicked them all out of my room and like taken their toys away.
Because you lit them on fire just to show them your displeasure.
I was toasty by my bonfire of loveys.
I don't think you and I are as different as we might think.
You're right. So I think I would rather not sleep for 4 days because I could be so productive. And I hate that feeling of oversleeping.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a supervisor. It just doesn't look good to be late. The other day, though, I was late. So getting everybody's weights is a big deal at the eating disorder place where I work. And you can't ever write them down because they will look through your stuff to find their weights.
Yeah.
And then I'll just mess them up for a week. They can't know that number. And it's not that different than me sometimes. I'm like, I can't even know that number. Anyway, and so the text, it happens right before I'm supposed to walk in. I get a text of just the client's first initial and their weight, because you don't want to write it anywhere.
Okay.
And so that text woke me up. And I was like, oh, thanks for waking me up. I'll see you in 20 minutes or so. Oh, man. It's terrible.
It's really interesting hearing about your job.
It's a very interesting place to work. Oh, thank you.
Like, you might get sick of talking about it or feel like you bring it up or, you know, but these are all things that I don't know anything about. So it's interesting.
Well, I wish I could say more stuff, but, you know, HIPAA. Okay. Killing Me Softly, Giving Me Life. Pick one.
Giving Me Life. And I'm not sure if I said this already, but I'm going to say it again. I got a Kindle for Mother's Day.
Okay. No, you hadn't told me.
Oh, so that I could read outside.
Nice.
Which is a really sweet thing, because I, once I'm done with this semester, I won't have anything to do. So I was like, I'd really like to read. Like, I've got time and I'd like to read in the sunshine, and that will mentally get me through this semester. So that's what I got for Mother's Day. That thing is so cool. So I'm reading more.
Good.
I really love it. So light, and going outside, you can read because there's no glare.
Cool. I have been trying to read on my iPad, but it's heavy and glary. I don't love it.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
I read Where the Crawdads Sing.
Is that good?
It's so good.
Okay. I'm reading Little Fires Everywhere.
I've seen that.
Really good.
What's it? A novel?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, all right, I'll get it on my Kindle.
So What's Giving Me Life is, okay, sometimes in the store, you go by the aisle at Target where the pens are, and then my cart just like magnetizes over to it, and I don't have a choice but to buy office supplies. And some pens look really cute packaged, those tricky packagers. But then when you get them, they like don't write well. So anyway, I bought some gel pens, which back in the day, they were like a little gloppy and
yes,
not like regular pens. I don't know. But I bought Papermate Ink Joy gel pens.
Okay.
They're amazing.
Ooh.
Really, really bright colors, but not markery. But they write really smooth. And most of the pen is the rubbery feel.
Okay.
So really comfortable.
Okay.
And they don't get gloppy and start like coming out in big, I just hate messy pens.
Right. I remember that about gel pens as well. It was like the ball was too small and it was just like oozing out of the sides.
Yeah. But these are really great.
Like, how fine is the point?
Not super fine. I can't do super fine because it makes my handwriting look too bad. It, like, shows too much. I was sitting next to a lady on a plane when I went out to see a different eating disorder facility for work. And I went out to Colorado. And she was sitting next to me. And I could not, you know, you don't want to be the weird person who's like, hey, I want to tell you everything I've ever known about in my life and show you pictures because you just wanted to do something else. And I can't pick up on social cues. You don't want to be that person. But you want to be friendly, you know, and let them know you're not a serial killer. Or that you hate them. Right. Some people
those
come
good
on
points to get across.
I will not kill you. I do not hate you. Have a
My
nice
name
flight.
Is Emily.
Anyway, so I was being friendly, appropriate, but I looked over and this girl had the most divine handwriting. Just like writing in her journal. I don't even know what it was. She was like, I think she was just like writing her to-do list or whatever, but it was magnificent. And I was like, I can't help but comment. That's when I became the first lady who couldn't stop saying inappropriate things. Couldn't help but notice your deepest, darkest secrets that you were writing. Anyway, but her, so then she, oh man, she lit up. She was like, we had the longest conversation about pens. She had every opposite opinion of a pen that I had. She does the finest, the finer, the better, but her handwriting is also like a typewriter. So,
right.
Anyway, very interesting.
I love a good pen.
Yes. So what pen do you have, like a pen that you, because I can't ever remember what pens I like.
Yeah.
I just know that the ones I have are usually not very good.
Yeah. Every time I think of a gel pen, I think of like there's glitter in there. Are they glittery?
No. That's what, at first I didn't get them because I thought it was going to be like Lisa Frank or something, and it wasn't.
Okay. Sharpie's like my number one. If I could write in Sharpie all day, I would. But okay. You can't always do that. But I like a felt tip versus any kind of ballpoint. I'm not a ballpoint person.
So like the Papermate Flair, like these ones?
No, I don't like that kind.
I don't like them either. I thought I would have liked them. Sure have a lot of them. Don't like them.
Okay. So the Staedtler 0.3 millimeter, that's the one. It's a marker pen. They have them at Target. They're expensive though. This one is $40. But they're my favorite. What's killing me softly is sunscreen. I'm finding it very hard to pull the trigger on any kind of sunscreen for this summer. So I've not bought any and we're all getting sunburned.
Oh my gosh. I have never heard of somebody having such a problem committing.
Well, not all of us are going to Target every day. And so...
Shots fired. I get it.
I have to make these online purchases. And what I really want to buy... is the sun bum.
Yeah.
Because it's the best smell.
Yeah.
But I can't make myself spend $15 on one thing of sunscreen.
But it smells really good.
I know, but for some reason I can't pull the trigger. And when I'm only doing online shopping, I actually literally have to hit the button and I can't make myself do it. I want there to be a cheaper version that smells exactly the same.
Why don't you do this? Because the kids don't care.
Right.
Buy that and that's just yours. It'll last longer and you can enjoy it.
I love it. I will do that. Do you know they have a new one now that is mineral? Something about mineral to where you can put it on your face. It like won't clog your pores.
Is it like a stick?
No, it's a spray. They do have, I've seen the face stick as well, but...
I don't like putting that stuff on my face, but so it's funny. I have a different relationship with Sunbum.
Okay.
In that I kept losing the bottle I bought and then I kept buying another one. And so now I've got like four bottles of it. I have minor investment in the company.
You bought stock.
I should send you some of mine because I know I'm going to get messages saying, Emily, just send some Sunbum to your sister.
Yeah, it's Sunbum Mineral is the new deal. 50 SPF 50. What's killing you softly?
What's killing me softly is that I just spent about 2 months ago, I spent 2 days in my courtyard planting. And I'm getting better at knowing what, because I really didn't know anything about plants. Our mom is really good at plants.
Right.
She can do anything with plants. She's a plant artist. A plartist, if you will.
Oh, gosh.
We've always said that about her. Such a plartist.
Why you got to be such a plartist, Mom? Well, you would hate to come to my patio. Just kidding.
Anyway. So I feel like I should just be able to put the plants where I want them and they should just grow because it's the right thing to do.
So they're all dead.
They're not all dead, but the ones that get the evening sun, they turned into plant skeletons. It was too hot for them. They're going well in other places. But anyway, so I went and got things that should be in full sun. It just killed me softly that they didn't obey and do the right thing. So.
I know. You know, it's a lot to know what to put where and to remember the names of them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a lot, but it's so rewarding when they do well.
Yes. And it's cool that as time's gone on, they're bigger every year, as happens with plants a lot of times. But if you're bad at them, then they're deader every year.
Yeah, I hear that. I get a lot more of that action in my house. I'm less of a plartist.
Oh man. Was that it?
This was a fun one. Yeah.
It was a fun one. Way to go.
Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we compare? as sisters?
My first thought is to say no, because I feel like that is not good for relationships. And I think we have a good relationship.
Yeah, I think no. I feel like I know my strengths and I know your weaknesses. No, I'm just kidding.
So rude.
But I know where your strengths are as well. I found a couple.
I had to ask other people because I couldn't see them.
But I don't feel less than. I don't like look at you and say, oh, I wish I could just be like that. Like, I don't get hung up in any kind of feeling.
I think we're good at different things.
Yeah.
So I think we can use each other as a resource.
Agreed.
It might be hard if we were like twins, maybe. Do you think? I don't know.
Maybe. Or maybe if we were closer in age.
Maybe. No, but I think the things that you do that are super smart, I just take them and use them too. So it's like everybody wins. If, like, I remember when we were on one of our vacations and you took a whole, do you know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
This was the one time I was super impressed with my sister. Took those sweet rolls and you cut them in half and you made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of a bunch of Hawaiian rolls. And then all of a sudden there was like 12 sandwiches in one fell swoop.
Ain't that the darndest thing? I'm like a sandwich artist.
A shortest.
Oh. All right. Well, that was just my last thought there.
Good thought.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye. La, 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 la. Thanks to all the listeners. We're the Struggling Sisters.